chalking on the sidewalk, which happened ironically right outside the McPherson Center, in a supposed love fest where, not really a love fest, but a situation where merchants and homeless people and artists and activists were all coming together to discuss downtown problems in what was supposed to be at least a somewhat neutral environment. And the police, of course, showed us quite clearly it was not a neutral environment.
I am back.
Hi there.
Yeah. Is it my turn to talk again?
No, you don't get to talk. Go ahead, talk.
Okay, well, as you can imagine, food, dirt, cigarette butts, and spit do constitute a health and safety hazard, especially if it accumulates in any quantity. Chalk writing does not. Chalk writing will wear away on its own if absolutely nothing is done. Or if any application of water is applied, it'll remove it very quickly. Certainly much easier to remove than stuck on gum or even spilled food. It certainly can be removed during the regular sidewalk maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
It's simply a matter of aesthetics.
Mm-hmm.
And some people believe that colorful chalk writing improves the look of a dirty gray sidewalk. I know that I do.
Uh-huh. Well, it's also true. I mean, that was one of the main things. I've mentioned it already. I found it peculiar that there's some talk about the need to hire an expensive steam cleaner when a hose would seemingly have done just as well. By the way, I found the municipal code section, talking a little loudly here. The code section is municipal code 9.20.010. It's called defacing sidewalks, and it reads as follows. And let you, the listener, decide what you think. No person shall paint, write, or otherwise place or affix upon any public curb or sidewalk in the city any advertisements of any kind or character whatsoever, or any signs, marks, or paint other than official traffic signs, marks, or paint placed thereon in accordance with law. So, and that's pretty much the substance of it. That's the ordinance you're charged with violating. And, well, Becky, I appreciate your being with us. I'm going to... We're soon going to have guests far, Mace of the...
The Alarm.
The Alarm.
The new newspaper here, in the weekly paper in Santa Cruz, which we're very happy to have another forum for people to get some a different kind of news.
Definitely. We also have Greg from the... I call it the Downtown Plaza Committee, but it's got a better... I think it's the Community Consensus for a More Creative Downtown. I'm sure he'll be in the studio to correct me shortly.
Citizens for Community Commons. Concerned Citizens for Community Commons?
That sounds right. Concerned Citizens for Community Commons could be
it. Well, if that's not their name, they should change it to that.
Damn right. Uh-huh. Listen, thank you very much. And if you hear from the Right to Sleepwalkers, let us know.
I shall.
All right.
And I want everybody to come down to City Council this coming Tuesday at 7 p.m. session.
Mm-hmm.
Because these downtown ordinances that are being proposed are really pretty heavy, and this is so similar to what's been done in past years. Well, the shoulder tap law was passed in the summer, the youth curfew was passed in the summer. It's the best time for them to push through legislation that's extremely unpopular when all the students are out, the school is out for the summer, and a lot of the local residents are actually away on vacation.
Thank you, Becky.
And I second that. What do you think? You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Robert. It's Roxanne.
Oh, no. Rough-tongued Roxanne.
Oh, I wish Becky would quit screwing up our sidewalks.
Well, Becky is one of those incorrigible chalk criminals. That's the reason that Wendy Bynes has to keep an eye on her.
Robert, I've solved the downtown problem. I have a plan.
It's about time.
This is my suggestion. At all points entering and exiting Santa Cruz, when you enter like a toll gate, you should have to go through and show the armed guard your platinum or gold card and the amount of money that you are bringing in your wallet. I think we should have a standard for, like, what a family of four should have to spend in Santa Cruz, or a couple. Upon exiting the mall or the plaza and trying to, again, to get home, I think you should have to stop and show all your receipts. If they don't equal, you know, what the plan is, then I think that you should be fined, and that money should go directly, you know, to the Downtown Business Association and be funneled back to the retail merchants in some extremely fair and constitutional manner.
Well, I think Councilmember Kennedy would insist that a certain small percentage of that be put aside for social programs.
You think? And so, you know, I think that there's some way that we can guarantee spending. I think if you're a person that comes into town and you're not wearing brand label clothes, that you should have to be chaperoned around town by a downtown host.
Well, that would
because
get us.
Right away, we know you're not our kind of people.
Well, it is important to keep standards up. These are difficult times.
So what do you think about that? Because, you know, myself, I'm very concerned about the downtown money grubber merchants. I'm really concerned, you know? They just aren't getting their fair share of the economy.
Well, you know, it's a real problem in Santa Cruz. The scruffy types seem to gather here, and I'm afraid that, you know, there has to be some answer. Now, I know Germany and Italy about 40 or 50 years ago had their own solutions, and that may be considered a little too extreme for our times, and I would have to agree with them, but I think we have to get the rotten apples out of the barrel, and what better way to do that than by squeezing them all into applesauce?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just appalled that it's gone on this long, that people have actually had the right to sit in the sun on the mall, or God forbid, feed a pigeon. Thank God they outlawed that recently.
Well, it's only outlawed for certain groups of people. I understand, luckily, the right kind of people, by which I mean the white kind of people, are being allowed to do essentially the same thing that Norman Friedberg did right across from the Cinema 9. When Friedberg did it, of course, he was told to take a littering ticket or essentially get beaten up, and he did get beaten up. They didn't say that explicitly, but that, in essence, was the message of the batons.
As it should be.
Yes, of course. And then, of course, when five or six teenage girls or young women were doing the same thing with a huge bag of popcorn a few days ago, as described by Randy Sue Winchell, and she tried to get the police to stop this kind of behavior, for some reason, the police inexplicably just weren't interested.
Well, you know, they probably were bosomy. They probably were young. You know, let a grandma try and do that. Boy.
Well, we could set you up and see what kind of response you get, Grandma.
Oh, but we know. We know what kind of response I would get. And I don't have any name label clothes to wear down there, so I really couldn't go.
Well, maybe you should do a bare-breasted approach to this.
You think?
Well, you know, it's one
and
of the...
You know, I could play hacky at the same time with my breasts and my knees.
This could be the basis of a real video activity.
It really could.
Interestingly enough, the bare breast issue is the one thing that did not make the final cut for the downtown ordinance sneak attack that's happening on Tuesday night.
What does that mean, the cut?
Well, there were 8 different issues for consideration on the petition that Candy Jackson circulated.
Uh-huh.
One was to extend to 12 feet the current 10-foot no-sitting rule, but also it's currently 4 feet from a drinking fountain or public telephone, and it added the word property. So it's in essence, it added a significant amount of space. The city council proposal, which calls itself a, let me get this exactly right, it's either a clarification, it's an adjustment. It's an adjustment. The adjustment proposal by Emily Riley and Ed Porter is to make it 14 feet. So they're giving them an additional 2 feet, which I think pretty much cuts out all sitting, tabling, musical performing on the sidewalk that is on the Cinema 9 side of Pacific. So they got that one. The second one is no person shall be allowed to play any sports activities upon public sidewalks. That's Candy Jackson's petition. And lo and behold, it's an adjustment. That's adjustment number 2 in this quick proposal to push the ordinances through of the Riley-Porter, the adjustment.
Well, now, one thing that I'm really struck by
mm-hmm.
is the innovative solutions that were come to. Because wasn't that our watchword? Innovative?
Innovative, creative, peaceful, and consensus-based, perhaps.
Uh-huh. So I'm so impressed, because this is nothing like anything that's ever been tried before.
Yeah, exactly. It's completely novel, though it does, there is, I think there's a, it does have a haunting kind of quality to it.
Well, it does have the stench of oppression, but is that wrong?
Well, no, no. Oppression has become quite fashionable, and I think in a way we're moving into a new era. People have to recognize that, you know, times change and standards change with them. You know, I can run through some of the other items, but maybe I should do so off-air, unless there's more you want.
I think I've had my fair share of time, and I hope everyone in Radioland will consider my plan.
I think the gated approach is, the credit card check is definitely a good idea, and of course the walk tax, or is it the breathing tax, or the fashion tax? Well, I think we understand what you're trying to propose.
Thank you so much for giving me this time.
Well, we need people like yourself. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And you're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I am about to continue. I kind of want to sum up what we're getting back on Tuesday compared with the Jackson Petition. It's fundamentally everything the Jackson Petition wants except bare breasts in spades. It gives everything the Jackson Petition is asking for except the bare breasts approach. There's a couple of other exceptions which I'm going to go into. And what I want to do, though, is make sure that my guest here can actually read over the staff report. If you want to join this whole situation, you can give us a call at 427-3772. We're talking about the upcoming new downtown ordinances that are going to be proposed on Tuesday to be formally written and voted on for a first reading a week from Tuesday, and then pass 2 weeks from Tuesday, what's called the fastest rush job for such ordinances I have ever seen. Again, we've already pointed out that the 12-foot thing is now becoming 14 feet, even worse than the Jackson proposal. No person shall be allowed to play any sports activities has been included, and in fact expanded so that now bubble blowing is illegal. Liquid substances are illegal on the avenue. The third one, not permitting the gathering of six persons in one location for more than 1 hour at a time, is not dealt with explicitly, so we might say that these are the civil liberties sensitivities of Riley and Porter. No, because what you have instead is you have a much larger area of the public sidewalk denied to people, so you don't have the problem, you would think, of so many people there. In fact, you're going to have an even worse problem, because where people are allowed to sit, there'll be much greater congregations and clusters and blockages, so it's self-defeating. So I guess we can say that Candy's proposal of not permitting six people to gather in more than one location for an hour did not fly. So let's not permitting standing, leaning, or sitting against a building. That's explicitly included. And again, a clarification to the downtown ordinance. So they're just not changing anything. They're not really giving in to the merchant pressure. They're not granting this petition without any discussion. No, they're clarifying the existing law. That's what's going on here. Number five is the no exposing the areolas of your breasts, women. You can't do that. Can't show your genitalia or anus to anybody in the public areas. But you can breastfeed. That is not being discussed. Obviously, it's maybe that'll come up next time. What happened was in the old downtown ordinances, they wanted to pass additional things like curfews, and they didn't pass the curfew in the downtown ordinances in 94. They went for it 3 years later and rammed it through then. The sixth thing that Candy Jackson wanted to pass was no display of merchandise with the intent to sell for donation. This is not in the downtown ordinances that are being proposed. However, the new police dictum that I heard from Randy Sue Winchell, the flower lady who sells flowers in front of the Cinema 9, is that you're not allowed to display any wares for donation on Pacific Avenue for personal profit. This is probably unconstitutional because nonprofits are allowed to do this, and they can't treat people worse than they treat nonprofits. So it's probably wrong in that regard, but it may only apply to artistic products. We're going to see about that. I understand an attorney is coming to town to take Mike True's lawsuit on his harassment for displaying his own musical art on Pacific Avenue. We'll see if we can get a little of the Constitution back in Santa Cruz that way. But again, it looks like the City Council, the Riley Porter, we're only just talking and want to do one or two things, is essentially passing let's say, at least two-thirds of the Jackson petition. And when the parts it's not passing, as I said, this no display of merchandise provision that Jackson wants, are simply being passed by the police department by fiat, by decree. So they don't need to pass it if the police department is running around enforcing this. I guess they consider it's already in the code. You're not allowed to display any merchandise whatsoever, even for donation, even if you're begging on the sidewalk. That's now going to become the rule, and they don't need a law, they're saying. They'll just tell the police to do it. No verbal harassment of any kind. And interestingly enough, this was the thing we thought, like sexual discrimination, might be the real thing that they could talk about and do without a lot of hubbub, and it would be generally agreed upon. I think Becky Johnson suggested that people give out little cards to sexual harassers and say, we think you're being, you know, this is what sexual harassment is. And it may seem a little bold to do that, but it's, you know, it's sort of an unusual Santa Cruz approach. Instead, the whole issue is not even being discussed. Instead, they are going after essentially eliminating homeless and poor people downtown, since these are the people who do sit downtown, street performers and musicians. And then finally, panhandling while waiting in line or entering or exiting a business. This is not included, but instead, a vast expansion of the panhandling laws is anticipated, or is contemplated here, by making all signing soliciting and panhandling. That is to say, right now, if you hold up a sign downtown, that's not considered panhandling. And you can do so sitting down, you can do so at night, under the new, quote, clarification. Solicitation would include holding up a sign. So you'd have to stand up with your sign. A 72-year-old man who wants to hold up a sign, such as John Telfair, the psychiatric rights advocate who often does that downtown, and was harassed improperly for it by the hosts and by the CSOs, would have to stand, trembling, holding his sign. He couldn't sit down, and he couldn't do it at night, and he couldn't do it with someone with him, because you can't do it in a group of two. These are the laws in Santa Cruz that we have to contend with these right now. If you peacefully ask for money or food or anything of that sort, now it'll be even if you silently ask. That's what not the merchants, but those good liberals, Ed Porter and Emily Riley, have cooked up for the city council to ratify, rush through, and have the city attorney draw up laws for next Tuesday. I should say the Tuesday after next. This Tuesday, the city council will essentially vote and ratify it, and then the attorney will draw up laws, be given a 72-hour notice. They'll do a first reading on July 16th, and then on July 23rd, a second reading, and wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. That's where we're at. Pretty scary and actually pretty disgusting stuff, the process by which this is being done. And a council member who tells us, gee, I wanted to get one thing out of these meetings, and ends up either passing two-thirds of this Emily Riley's petition without any discussion of solutions whatsoever. That's the one thing that was missing from these downtown meetings. They didn't have the time to talk about solutions. There was a lot of discussion about problems. There was a lot of airing of concerns, but there was no discussion really of solutions. I mean, there was a couple of offhand comments. Instead, the Riley-Porter subcommittee is acting like they came up with lots of solutions, and here's what the public gave us. These things came from somewhere else. They came from the Riley petition, they may have come from the police department, they may have come from Parks and Rec and Redevelopment, they may have come from Porter and Riley themselves, but they did not come from these meetings. And it's a complete misrepresentation to say they did. So, what do you say? That's my view, and actually I have in the studio with me a man who may have a different view. He was actually at these meetings as well, or some of them. Let's see if your mic is working. Why don't you sign in? What's your name, sir?
My name is Greg Kindig.
Okay, what you need to do is talk real close to the mic and louder, because we have these temperamental mics.
All right. My name is Greg Kindig.
Excellent. And you, the group you represent, we were talking about this before you came on the air. We're trying to remember the name again. It was?
The Coalition for Community Commons.
Coalition for Community Commons. And you've heard me expressing my resentment and frustration with the downtown committee, what did you get out of those two meetings? I mean, you made some rather interesting proposals. A plaza, of course, was one of the major proposals you made. How did you feel? I like the two meetings. It's what came out of the meetings that kind of upsets me, and I guess you haven't quite finished that staff report.
Right. I looked over most of it. I actually came away somewhat optimistic from the two meetings. One thing I commented on at the first meeting was that they had put up a list of, I think it was 33 issues regarding downtown, and they wanted us in our two-minute time slots just to get up and say which issues we wanted them to address. And I understand that they're trying to come up with something, a quick solution for the downtown, and so they want. And there were a lot of people there who wanted to comment on the downtown issues. So they wanted to try and do something quick and just find out what the general emphasis was from the community. But I felt that we were just being asked to highlight symptoms that were of particular importance to us. So I think the main point I had for the first of the two meetings was that rather than picking one or two or three symptoms that were of particular interest to me, I felt that we should be addressing causes. I felt that there were several of the items on their list that were a direct result from not having a pedestrian-only area, an area where people can congregate. In fact, one of the issues they had on their list was item number 6, said that one of the problems downtown was groups of people congregating downtown. And as one of our fellow citizens mentioned at the Friday meeting, he felt that that was the definition of a downtown, a place where people congregate.
Shoppers. Shoppers, please.
Well, actually, there's this book called Street Reclaiming, and it suggests that cities grew out of a need to efficiently concentrate exchange opportunities in one area to maximize the opportunity for what they call exchange opportunities and to minimize the need for travel between those exchange opportunities. And exchange opportunities include not only commerce, purchasing of goods, but also interacting with friends, interacting with strangers, exchanging knowledge, getting education, entertainment. All of those things fall into the category of exchange opportunities. The cities initially were created to serve. And as you take away exchange opportunities, such as your sidewalk vendors or your entertainers, they have to move somewhere else, and then people have to travel further to get from one type of exchange opportunity to another, and then they end up using cars, and it takes 70 times as much space to provide for car movement than for pedestrian movement. So pretty soon, your concentrated area of exchange opportunities gets separated by large avenues for cars.
You're not attacking those downtown, those suburban shopping centers that we love so much, are you?
Not specifically.
I hope not. I don't want to call some kind of wingnut radical on my show here.
My main point is that a lot of the problems that were identified on the list at the Friday meeting were problems that come because there's no space for people other than those going straight from their cars to a doorway into a store and straight back out again. And looking at one of these changes in the ordinance that you mentioned, extending the distance from buildings to 14 feet.
Not just buildings, but telephones, kiosks, crosswalks, drinking fountains, fences. It's a massive expansion of the forbidden area for not just sitting, but for tabling and street performing as well.
I agree that there is a contention for space in the doorways and on the sidewalks. I agree that there's a contention for space. But again, I think that that's a symptom. And I think to further take away that space from street musicians and vendors and people who just want to chat with each other, to further take away that space and restrict it without providing new space is just going to aggravate the situation.
Greg, won't we be getting rid of the wrong kind of person downtown? I mean, we have these scruffy young types with their love beads and their old beat-up guitars and their tarot cards hanging out around Borders. I mean, you know, they can always, as Ed Porter puts it, go to the park with the hacky sackers. I mean, why, we don't need them around there, do we? I don't mean to catch you with those kind of questions there, Greg.
Well, you know, I, not speaking specifically of those people, but, you know, I have to admit, sometimes I walk downtown, and I love downtown. I loved it more before the earthquake, but I still love it. And I chose to live within a mile of downtown so that I can walk down there and enjoy it. But I admit, sometimes there are people there who make me uncomfortable. But I don't want to be comfortable all the time. I want to be challenged. I want to grow. Certainly there were times when I was growing up when my parents made me uncomfortable, and I didn't want them carted away. And I'm sure there were times where I made my parents uncomfortable, and they didn't have me carted away. My friends and my coworkers sometimes make me uncomfortable, and vice versa, and we don't have each other carted away.
Well, maybe you should adopt all these scruffy, spare-changing, drug addict, junkie, violent skunk punks and drunks who are hanging out downtown, Mr. Civil Liberties.
Adopt all of them?
I mean, what's this lovey? Why don't you invite them to your house? I mean, isn't the sidewalk, I mean, our living room, isn't the sidewalk the, you know, the place where those decent women, mothers, and children, you know, the families who, in essence, make up Santa Cruz and the merchants who serve them, they're trying to reclaim the space, man. What's your problem?
Well, I do believe that there is behavior downtown that's inappropriate.
You're not referring to the Gap slave labor practices, perhaps? Or the practice of fencing off two-thirds of the sidewalk for the private profit of two merchants in front of the New Leaf Market?
You're right. I was not referring to that behavior.
I'm sure we didn't.
But I wouldn't want to leave it out.
Perhaps you're talking about the police engaging in harassment stops of people for sitting on the cement lips of planters.
Now, that one really gets in my craw, actually, because I think, growing up as the son of an architect, I can look at those planters, and I can tell you they were designed to be sat upon. And I have heard many stories from people that corroborate that only certain people aren't allowed to sit on those planters.
You know, you hear this from characters like Norse and his ilk all the time. I mean, these are the kinds of malcontents that are constantly raising these spurious issues. What about the violence that's happening downtown? Now, what about stabbings, needles, poo-poo on the sidewalk, and pee-pee in the alleys? And don't tell me we need public restrooms. If you put in a public restroom, these bums will vandalize them. I think what we need to do is essentially make sure, I mean, this proposal by Roxana Kistapache about a credit card check before kind of a gate when you come into town, where you have to, in essence, not only show what you have, but when you leave, you have to have spent a certain amount. After all, it is a public sidewalk. It has to be maintained. These things don't come out of nowhere. I mean, we need to have some way Well, we're entering a tax crisis. We're entering, you know, a situation where there is a financial problems in town, and I don't think we need a bunch of hangers-on, loungers, and bums dictating city policy. Wouldn't you agree, Greg?
getting back to the issue, to the question of whether I feel there's inappropriate behavior downtown, I do feel that there is some inappropriate behavior downtown. I think, you know, if somebody spits on somebody, that's, you know, inappropriate. If somebody sexually harasses a woman, and I realize that, you know, that's open to interpretation, but I feel that that's inappropriate. I talked to one woman who said she was walking downtown and she was harassed by one of those young men you referred to. And then...
billboard commercial where she was objectified and treated like a commodity, perhaps.
No. This was just a verbal exchange, and then she thought about it, and she was quite incensed, actually. And on her way back, she passed by the same young man, and she confronted him, and she gave him a piece of her mind, and she let him know that she was really pissed off at him,
And he attacked her with a needle of some sort, possibly a liquid substance, a hacky sack?
He was actually taken aback. And his two friends who were standing with him said, "Hey, you know, it wasn't us. We didn't do it." And then she went into a store and she came back out and they were gone. So I guess the reason I bring that story up is I think that maybe if you encounter behavior downtown that you feel is inappropriate, it might be a good opportunity to explore the possibility of expressing to the person that you feel the behavior is inappropriate.
Yeah, but what about the acid etchings on our windows we merchants face, and the feces in our doorways, and the bizarre figures that 20% of our customers have been driven away. Of course, the problem I'm going to answer myself is we don't have any stats, any good stats. There hasn't been time, or perhaps there hasn't been the stats available. I haven't heard the police chief coming up with the violence stats downtown. You get a couple of high-profile incidents, and you also, but if you compare that, as I said before, with 3 fatalities on Mission Street, and we don't see them whipping out the National Guard for Mission Street, but suddenly they want to pass essentially emergency ordinances to deal with apprehensions from the merchants downtown. I'm taking a negative slant on this because I'm stuck with, to some extent, the negative reality of in 2 days we face this barrage of mislabeled bullshit, because that's what it is, as far as I'm concerned, at City Council. But you actually are looking at it from a broader, more positive perspective in terms of, you have a vision of what might happen downtown, Greg. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Well, my group, the Coalition for Community Commons, believes that by creating a pedestrian-only area where people can gather, that more children and families, and I use families in a broad sense, by the way, will be attracted downtown. More arts, entertainment, and events can occur in that downtown area. It'll attract a wide spectrum of citizens as well as visitors, and it'll create an area away from storefronts and sidewalks where people can congregate for exchanges other than the narrow commercial exchange that's often thought of as the only exchange downtown. And this will decrease the contention for space without excluding members of our community from the downtown area. And simply by bringing more people downtown, it'll create a more vibrant environment with a wide spectrum of people, and any small group of people within that larger group of people will just be another variety of person within the group. Having a larger, vibrant group made up of a wide cross-section of the community will diminish the so-called negative impact of particular groups that any one of us might feel a little uncomfortable with.
Whether it be police officers hanging out on the corner or...
Yeah.
Radio.
Yeah, your caller's got maybe some kind of an idea, but it'll go over like a Kennedy family reunion.
That was the infamous janitor. Thank you, sir, for your usual thoughts. there's an interesting point here. The point is that folks like you and I, and one might even say 4 council members, have been pushing for a plaza for at least 3 years, although not pushing very hard. For example, one would think that there would be 5 votes to eminent domain the Rittenhouse hole for a sort of a side plaza if anybody wanted to raise it, but we don't have anybody with apparently the guts on the city council to do that. You're looking, of course, for a broader, a temporary closure downtown.
Hey, caller.
Hi. I just wanted to comment. With all due respect to your guest, I mean, I'm surprised. This town is so fucking meek and sanitized and like la 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 la. I think you better go into some inner city areas. Go to some places where there's some really scary homeless people. Go to some places where there's a really scary shit going down. And then everybody can come and talk to me about how it's so much of a challenge to like go downtown and see somebody who's drank too much and is playing a guitar. You know, it's just funny to me. There's no problem down there with those people. The only problem is with bringing down this fucking system that is totally focused around these merchants who we shouldn't give a fucking crap about. We shouldn't give any more of a crap for these damn local merchants than these corporations. It's all the same capitalist crap. And it's not a big deal. Yes, people are fucked up in this society. It's because they have no other options. They're in our faces. They should be way more in our faces, constantly.
Now, how long
that's
you
my
been?
Opinion.
Let me ask you, caller, how long you been in town?
I've lived here about 10 years.
And you were here then when the downtown ordinances, Trip 1, were passed back in 1994, the no-sitting laws?
Yeah.
You remember that whole scene?
I do. I mean, probably not as accurately as you do, but I do.
Well, I don't know if you recall, but the passage of those laws and the police enforcement of those laws around food not bombs provoked people to mass protests, and which provoked the police to actual physical violence. They caused one woman to miscarry. They smashed another man's ribs.
Yeah.
And I... You know, I have here a thing called the Mammary Manifesto, and have you heard about that?
No.
Mammary Manifesto is a flyer that's been given out on the streets which cites the Jackson petition, the Candy Jackson petition, the petition that asks City Council to make these changes.
Okay.
And the Mammary Manifesto is in opposition to the newly proposed Santa Cruz ordinances, which petition the Council for the following changes.
Yeah.
And this doesn't sound like the Santa Cruz you want to live in. Boycott the businesses who are attempting to push these through, and the businesses are Borders, Artisan, Jackson Shoes, The Hat Company, John Michael Studio, and Santa Cruz Jewelry and Gift. And I'm wondering what your thoughts are about the Mammary Manifesto.
Yeah, I would totally sign that. I very much agree with it. And a lot of these entrenched businesses, I mean, what are they doing? Like the John Michael Gallery or whatever. I mean, I hate to be cynical, but what kind of art is it putting out? Is it some interesting surrealist stuff? Is it something that's cutting edge? Is it something that's going to be interesting to anybody with a fucking brain? Or is it going to be more of this fucking Thomas Kincaid, painter of light fucking bullshit? You know, I mean, he's human. You know, I don't want to see him die. I mean, he's a member of our species. I would only go that far. You know what I mean? And actually, I just want to clarify. I wasn't meaning that there's not scary stuff that happens in this town from the cops. Scary stuff that flows from the city government is definitely a big problem. But this extra policing of a town that's so like new age and mellow and hippy trippy, that's the one thing that you don't find in this town. I'm telling you, some of these people have got to, I don't want them to go to scary neighborhoods and get injured, but it's like, let's wake up. Let's wake up. This is a lily white mellow place. We don't need this type of these draconian thugs coming around. It's over-policing. Obviously, it's classic over-policing. Why? For an obvious economic intent.
What should we do to respond to this over-policing? I'm, for example, thinking of going downtown, setting up a table today, and I'll be giving out my traditional flyers about Terrorist Tuesday 2 coming up, the City Council's attempt to impose its own rather low-grade, low-intensity reign of terror downtown, where the terror only strikes occasionally and it's only sort of implied by the police officer who comes up to you and says, you're going to have to move along here.
Exactly. I'm one of those. I don't appear homeless to them, and I've been a consistent money maker and a fucking shopper at some of those damn places downtown for years, but I appear like I'm definitely one of those people who they would ask to get up from around the planters and this type of thing. And what can we do? Well, I mean... Free Radio, The Alarm, these other places where people are at least getting together and talking about this stuff, I hope could lead into some sort of, we need mass action downtown. I mean, we need to blockade some of those things downtown, and there's so many people, so many even groups, you know, even subgroups of culture and sexual orientation, and there's lots of people who really aren't that together who I think basically agree that we need to stop this shit, that we need to stop what's going on downtown and just change the whole cast of the city.
Well, it's kind of ironic that, you know, this whole merchant call for a crackdown comes on the heels of a major police crackdown. I mean, I've seen this happening for the last couple of months, the police cracking down, I mean, a guy being, you know, beaten for breadcrumb crime,
exactly.
You know, another people being hauled away for chalking,
and
the musicians, a full-scale war on musicians, apparently run by Sergeant McPhillips, who wants to eliminate people like Cosmic Chris from playing in the Doors of, I mean, this sort of attempt to, you talked about sanitizing, but I guess what I'm thinking of doing is coming downtown later today myself, around 2:30 with a table, probably in front front of Borders, thereabouts, maybe Cinema 9. Have plenty of sidewalk chalk available for those who wish to violate the law, or not violate the law. I don't think it's unconstitutional to, you know, to write with erasable chalk, particularly if you're willing to clean it up later, or if, you know, if it can easily be cleaned up. But I'm just wondering, you know, there is a police review board meeting tomorrow. Police review board sucks big time, but the head of the police review board is trying to, first of all, stop them from condensing the police review board into a little auditor who will just sort of do what they do in San Jose. She just sort of watches, and then she does her little reports.
There was something in the alarm about that that kind of got at that, and you've been writing some letters in there, too.
That's right. And also, what I'd like to see is the issue that was not addressed at these meetings, and Greg might be able to talk a little bit about this. He was there, too.
Okay.
Was police harassment, and was pointed out by the Sentinel. That was the big issue, which people brought up. It nowhere appears in any of these recommendations. And so the place for people to go, I told Ed Porter angrily in my first conversation with him in 2 years, he doesn't usually take my phone calls or return my phone calls.
Yeah.
I said to him, we'll have to line up outside your office door with these complaints, since you don't want to consider it in committee and you don't want to bring it up for city council, you don't want to suggest the police review board has to hold special meetings. I think we need to hold mass meetings, as you suggested, in the streets. And I think that this new organization, Cop Watch, is something that people should look at. This guy, Jake, is and others have been doing their meetings every Thursday for Cop Watch, and unfortunately, I'm looking right now to see if I can actually find his phone number, which
Okay, I'm looking too, because I think it was in this something about Cop Watch in this thing that I was reading, but maybe it's in another paper.
Yeah, I have it here somewhere. Maybe if Jake is listening or if someone is listening with the phone number for Cop Watch, I can call in. It's around here somewhere. It is. You can certainly leave if you're interested in Cop Watch, you can call the Huff line, 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and the Cop Watch number is actually on that line, and you can reach Jake through that. I'm going to be, as I said, downtown starting at 2:30 today. Look for me either in front of Borders or in front of Cinema 9, and I'm going to be distributing flyers and asking people, what can we do? Greg, you want to say something about this, or
I'm going to go.
All righty.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Sorry, Greg. You, your turn.
Yeah. I, as you mentioned, I was at both of the meetings of the task force, and by the end of the second meeting,
they said we are not a task force. We are two council members telling you all what to do, and then having to change what we tell you because you won't do it. Right?
Well, I've heard it referred to as a commission and a committee and a task force, and I guess the Sentinel called it yesterday morning a working group. We, in our 2-minute time slots that each citizen had at the second meeting, we were asked to identify the three issues from the first meeting, or they had an additional list of things that came up during the first meeting. We were able to identify three items from either of those two lists that we wanted the working group to concentrate on, and
I will say that they expanded the list from the first meeting, which had essentially, I think it was 27 out of the 33 were all merchant issues, and the other they had five vague issues that were non-merchant issues, which didn't at all reflect the city council discussion from which these issues came. But in the second meeting, as you point out, they added, you know, I think another 30 or 35 issues, which did come up at the first meeting, and I had thought, here is the beginning of a genuine input process. I mean, I was kind of encouraged, as you were. I was encouraged at the thought that business people and street musicians and activists were all sitting down, and they weren't agreeing with each other, but they, afterward, you saw people talking to each other who'd never talked to each other. This guy who stood up and said, I want everybody, you know, to leave town, these bad apples, and he was hissed and booed and so forth. I went up and I talked to him later, and he tried to explain his perspective. I explained mine. I got more attention from him than I ever got from a city council member. I mean, so I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm too quick to be nice to the merchants or feel that there's some hope there. What's your thought, Greg?
I too was optimistic because at the first meeting, about 6 or 7 people expressed an interest in a pedestrian-only area, which I feel is a solution or addressing a cause rather than a symptom.
And a widespread demand by many people in town that is being completely ignored by the city council.
And 3 of the people that promoted that pedestrian mall individually during their own 2-minute time slot were merchants. And so I was pretty optimistic after the first meeting. And then the second meeting, when we had to pick 3 items that we wanted them to concentrate on, as you mentioned, the top vote getters were police discrimination, police harassment, and civil liberties, along with getting rid of silly ordinances. Mm-hmm. Those were the top vote getters. And the next
we get more silly ordinances.
Right. And actually, I'd like to make a little. I'd like to address an omission in yesterday morning's Sentinel article. It did correctly identify that those were the top vote getters, but then it went on to list the additional vote the things that got 4 or 5 votes, and it failed to list the fact that the pedestrian mall got 6 votes. So the pedestrian mall idea, or pedestrian, or some kind of extended pedestrian-only area, was the highest vote getter, other than police discrimination, police harassment, civil liberties, and petty ordinances. So that was omitted in yesterday morning's Sentinel article.
I mean, it looks so much like a prefabricated agenda that they're going to ram down our throats, no matter, you know, this is all pretty coloring, all this the frills of the pseudo-democratic trappings that they let us have. But then when they go into their meetings, they suddenly come up with these proposals that have nothing really to do with the main concerns that were discussed. In fact, they go exactly opposite. The main concerns we had were that current ordinances are being abusively enforced by police in a situation that creates tension, violence, and injustice downtown, and also scares away musicians and creates a bad climate. I mean, it's obviously, and the problem is, of course, it's being done as a solution to the problems that, and some of them are real problems, that merchants, perceive in terms of their customers. And some community residents perceive in terms of their situation there. But, again,
place to camp and sleep yet, or are you about to get bounced out of the parks because of their anti-homeless rules?
Well, we're not in the parks. We're in seclusion right now, and the reason why we're in seclusion is for protective reasons. We realize, the police can be mean guys. Of course, we could be just as mean, and they don't know that, but we save that for the latter time.
They're better armed.
Well, yeah, that's really sad. I'm a pilgrim from heritage, a true Puritan, as the Alden tradition is, and we came here, man, because of the other countries we lived in, man, were doing draconian things, and when we came here, this whole land had no body of government, and we were the ones that were responsible for this body of government.
After slaying many Native Americans and their own and destroying their governments, but that's another story.
Unfortunately, man, everything got out of hand like it usually does in every country that was before this one, because this is the newest territory. But what I want to say is, man, is we need to sit there and do things. We need to sit there and establish our rights and priorities. And one way to do it is to really speak out, especially when we have the opportunity of having a free radio show like you.
Well, you are, by the way, invited, as is anyone from Camp Hope or Camp Paradise or any of the other many encampments, some of which don't have names, to come down to my table. I'm going to be either in front of the Cinema 9 or Borders, depending on my fancy, probably starting around 2:30. We're going to be tabling against these nasty downtown ordinances. I don't know if you've heard about it. Have you been listening to the show? Or?
I sure have. I've been up and ready this morning listening to you, and wow.
It's pretty nasty stuff, and I would encourage you to come down to City Council and talk about this stuff. I know that Camp Paradise and Camp Hope have both kind of been properly concerned with protecting their own turf to some extent, but, they're taking away everybody's turf with these new laws, so I would encourage you to step up to the mic and just say no,
Laws were made, and laws can be broken, too, and they can be recorrected also.
I think it would be a good time to start a nice tent city on City Hall, but I'm always saying that,
Yeah, that's true. Anyways, I just wanted to speak my opinion and let you go and say I love you, brother.
By the way, before you go, Dirt Clyde, we have one of the editors of The Alarm here. That's a new weekly paper. You may have seen it around with these new black boxes.
Yeah, I've been visibly reading it myself.
And any questions or comments for Farr here? He's prepared to, who knows, respond one way or another.
Keep speaking loudly because he's doing a good job being The Alarm.
Hey, you hear that, Farr?
Yeah, thanks a lot. I'm definitely
going
to do it.
And then we got nothing.
Hi, Robert.
Who's this?
This is Bob again.
Hey there.
Hey, ask them if they need a photographer, brother.
Well, what do you say, Farr? Does you need a photographer for The Alarm?
Tell him I'm real good.
He's a good man. He's a whiz with the computers, too, I might add.
Well, we've got a lot of people offering.
Can you hear him?
What sort of photography you're offering.
Is there a number, Farr, that people can call that want to help with The Alarm or offer to volunteer or maybe look for work, whatever the deal is?
Yeah, absolutely. It's easy to remember. 429-NEWS, 429-6397.
429-NEWS, NEWS.
Okay.
So maybe you should give him a call off air and see if he's up for it.
Yeah, I'll do that, because I get a lot of pictures just walking around, you know.
I mean, you can also turn in letters with some exceptions. The alarm is usually pretty good at printing letters.
Do they have an email?
I think they do. It's wait, wasn't it? It's info@thealarm.com.
Okay.
Yeah, and the dash is not an underscore, it's a dash.
I'll send them some samples of my work and see what they think.
Yeah, and you might also just, you know, I mean, someone should do a regular report on how things are going in Camp Hope and in the homeless community from the homeless community.
We're thinking of doing a newsletter, Robert.
Great.
You know?
Hey, I would be happy to, you know, to contribute with some of my lamb basting.
We'd love that, man. We'd love that.
Okay. Sounds good.
Okay.
Hey, Bobby, thank you for calling in. And again, if people want to reach Camp Hope, they can give a call to
438-5848.
438-5848. And these are folks who are A, looking for work, and B, looking for support, both. Is that true?
That's it.
All right.
All right, Robert.
Thanks,
Bobby.
Love
you, brother.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
Phone lines again open, 427-3772. This is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3. In the studio with me is Far Meese, one of the editors of the Weekly Alarm, which only costs 50 cents, unlike its high-priced competitor, the Comic News. Comes out twice as often. You can find it around town in these black boxes. What's coming up for the Alarm? I know you're doing a series on, you call it Transients, which I guess is about folks who are... Some people call them homeless, some call them folks passing through. What's that series about, Far? You're writing it, and it was on the front page of the latest issue.
Actually, it's probably least of all about homelessness. It's about transients in general, and I think that label gets applied disproportionately to homeless people. I think the greater portion of transients, at least as it affects our local economy and the way it affects our politics, and the way it affects our personal lives has more to do with the student populations and with the tourist populations, like these huge demographics of transient people that come through town that most of them aren't homeless, and in fact it seems like most of the homeless actually are much more stable and much more residents of Santa Cruz County than many other people.
Yeah, there's always this, you know, this wah-wah-wah about all the homeless litter, and indeed, there is some serious trashing of camp areas, and as some of my old-time listeners always say, campers, don't trash the areas, please. Makes it worse for the next camper that comes along, and it also gives a bad name to the rest of the folks who are just trying to survive out there, so I will put that out. But I will say also that the main trashing happens through tourists. I mean, there's huge numbers of tourists, you know, who purchase, whether it's, you know, food in fast food joints or attend the boardwalk and, you know, despoil the area. That's where most of the crap comes from. Or am I being too prejudiced here, Far? What do you think?
No, I think that's pretty accurate. I mean, there was a big front page story on the Sentinel a couple of days ago about all the trashing of the beaches that went on after 4th of July. And I'm sure a large part of that trashing happened both with local people and with tourists. And of course, there were huge armies of volunteers that went out to clean up all that stuff, and they did it with a smile on their face and no complaints about what a horrible travesty it was and how we need to be brushing these people off and getting them out of our communities. I think that's a pretty accurate thing that you just said.
Yeah, I don't have the documentation for it. I'm complaining that the downtown problems hoax group, as perhaps I should start calling them, because that's what they are. They are not in any way keeping to their commitment to even do one thing or engage in a productive search for solutions. They are coming back with a prefabricated agenda, and the agenda is the merchant agenda put up on Candy Jackson's petition, which we will see no doubt rammed down our throats at City Council on Tuesday night, though I would still encourage people to show up, 7 o'clock, item 21. It's the second item, or the first item, actually, after the budget. First, you have oral communications where you can speak about police harassment, because if Scott Kennedy or Tim Fitzmaurice try to interrupt you and say, oh, no, we're talking about these issues, these downtown problems later, you say, The downtown report doesn't mention police harassment. I'm sorry, not one of those recommendations has anything to do with police harassment, though it was, in fact, the major recommendation or concern, seconded by, I guess, arcane law, use of arcane laws improperly, and then the Plaza concern. So you can talk about that at Oral Communications. That's 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. And then the budget comes up, when you should certainly talk about the bloated budget for our city attorney and for the police department. And then after that, item 21, the so-called downtown problems.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hey, Robert. This is Tim.
Wait a minute. We don't allow criminal chalkers on the air. You are Tim Rinker?
Yes.
I'm sorry, sir. Have you? We can't really talk. Well, go ahead.
Well, actually, I wanted to report criminal chalking vandalism downtown.
Oh no! How can this be?
Well, I've heard a report that the city actually pays somebody to go around and chalk people's vehicles. They're private property. Now, of course, it is temporary and it does wear off. But you know, vandalism is vandalism, and I'm sure these car owners don't appreciate. People coming by and chalking their vehicles.
Aren't these folks kind of running around with kind of these gang colors on and little kind of vehicles that sort of they kind of do hit and chalk? They kind of hit and chalk and they move on hit and chalk.
Exactly.
Yeah, and they kind of, I've seen them. And in fact, it's known they're also kind of connected with a larger extortionate syndicate, which charges incredible amounts of money for, unless they do, they seize your property and drag it away to the old cars yard.
Right, and not only that, but that's adding insult to injury, of course, because with this chalk, you're obviously going to have to go out and steam clean your car.
Good point. I think we should really start steam cleaning all the tires downtown, kind of go around after every car tire that's chalked and steam clean those tires as a kind of we can just use a hose, maybe show the downtown merchants a more cost-effective approach, but hose off each of the tires so that we can, you know, save the city employees from the charge of vandalism or chalking without a permit.
I think we need a class action suit with the car owners.
How can we get some action downtown? That is my question, Tim. We have you arrested, Becky Johnson arrested, Nathaniel Kennedy arrested for chalking. We have countless instances of harassment, ranging from Randy Sue Winchell, the Rose Woman, the beating of, which was documented in the alarm of Norman Friedberg for resisting a ticket for breadcrumb crime. And yet, you know, all of us are going about our business, or we're making up little flyers and then disappearing into the woodwork. What can we do?
Well, that's a tough one. To a certain extent, I think that the normal process will get us nowhere. That's why I'm kind of cynical along with you about these commissions coming up with these new laws that are going to somehow solve all the problems.
They solve the merchant. They'll oil the merchant squeak is what they're going to do.
Yeah, and actually make things worse.
I think, of course. I mean, I think that's pretty clever. And then the main problem, of course, is not addressing the big problem of the crackdown on the downtown ordinances and some obvious long-standing problems like the sleeping ban, lack of a plaza, lack of public spaces, which Greg Kindig here today was discussing. Have you been listening to the show?
A little bit.
Yeah, we have, of course, in the studio, we have Far Meese.
Right.
And Greg of Gindig of the Coalition for Community Commons.
I think to a certain extent, I mean, you know, yes, we do protest. I protest. I felt like I had to do something against this stupid law.
We played a tape of your arrest earlier, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
You came off splendidly. Actually, you weren't even talking. It was Becky, but we talked about you.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to be meeting downtown, too. Some of us, I'm going to be setting up a table asking people to come and join us, with or without chalk, with or without bare breasts. You know, it's all optional. I'm going to be talking about, through my literature, discussing the upcoming shitty council meeting. And but again, more important than the city council meeting is how do we document for the community, what's really going on downtown. We can't get the story out through the Sentinel. We can occasionally get the story out through the Alarm. I think Farr is interested in this issue, although I didn't see him at the... Were you at those meetings, Farr, the downtown meetings or the committee? I don't think you were.
No, but my eyes and ears were.
His eyes, he had his spies at the meeting. So Farr is everywhere. It's like the police have the hosts. Farr has, who knows what he has. It's probably, and they don't wear purple shirts, probably, so we can't identify them in the same way.
Well, you know, one thing I was thinking of with respect to this, you know, the farmer's market, because last Wednesday when I was at the farmer's market, I noticed a number of chalk marks on the sidewalk. I've been noticing them a lot more lately.
You're becoming sensitive to that, are you?
Yeah. But things I noticed that they seem to have been placed there by the farmers market themselves to mark off the booths. Now, either this is...
And they were still there when the farmer's market left. I came back several hours later, and those chalk marks, those cheeky chalkers, had not, as far as I know, been cited or arrested by the police. And, of course, the problem we have here is that they will just say that they were too busy doing other important things, like, I don't know, ticketing people for sitting on planters, or maybe going after excessive noise from black men driving in vehicles downtown. I mean, those are serious problems that we have to deal with, you know.
Right. And, well, you know, we should look into this, because the farmers market may claim that they, in fact, like the first night celebration, somehow has a...
exemption.
An exemption.
They do lease the area, yeah.
Well, and if that's the case, it would seem like...
They better steam clean their sidewalks.
That would be a perfect public chalkboard for people to... voice their opinions.
Unfortunately, only once a week for a 6-hour period. I mean, to me, that's one of the problems with the proposal, that there be a chalking ghetto or a vending ghetto or a music ghetto. I don't think there should be ghettos for places for people to do these things. I think they should be essentially available anywhere where, you know, and where there are reasonable accommodations between conflicting groups, or between people who have, you know, different claims on the space. And that's why the street performers guidelines seem to me like a way to go for guidelines for different groups, where you have skateboarders guidelines, where you have hacky sackers guidelines, chalkers guidelines, so that there can be particular sensitivity to the issues of other people in the area who may see themselves in a different way. And so this happens in a voluntary fashion, and it's worked out instead of having, you know, a bunch of city attorneys making money and a bunch of police stalking around looking like something out of, what is it? Anyway, some futuristic police nightmare, which suddenly here we are. Good grief. It's 2002.
To a certain extent, I think we need to, in addition to just fighting things on a certain level, we also just need to ignore the powers that be as much as possible and continue to build our own communities. You know, that's what Free Radio has done. You know, I'm consider myself a Rainbow Family member before I consider myself a...
By the way, is the Rainbow Family able to successfully this year avoid harassment from police authorities?
I don't know. I haven't been checking in with the website.
I'm sure the Alarm has some input on that. A Rainbow reporter, perhaps? Who's? What do you say about that, Farr? Any word about
the Rainbow Gathering?
Yeah, about whether the Rainbow Gathering has been free of police harassment, because they've been having some. They usually have court problems.
Actually, we haven't been following that too much. I mean, we've got a little bit more of a local focus going on.
No, we don't want you to do local. It's national. The national. Poor Farr. I'm harassing him one day with a go local. The next day it's go national. The reason I'm interested in the Rainbow, though, is because they come through here, and what happens to them is significant, I think, for the community, too. Tim, maybe you'll join me downtown. I'm going to be hanging around waiting for Sergeant Baker and his 6 officers to monitor our chalking progress.
Oh, really?
Probably, I'm either in the front of the Cinema 9, or if it looks too hot, maybe I'll find a shadier spot downtown. Borders...
Yeah, I might stop by there. There's actually some stuff going on down at Harvey West Park.
I've heard about that. Yeah, some music is happening down there. Free music might be a good place to gather too, but it's a little out of the way for me. The downtown is my beat.
Uh huh.
So thank you for calling.
Well, I'm on foot and I've got to go through downtown. So
well, but take your chalk with you.
I will. I try and carry it with me.
Yeah, there will be chalk available for those who wish to find a piece of private property to chalk on so that they don't violate the defacing the sidewalk ordinance. Or perhaps, who knows what they'll do.
Lately I've enjoyed carrying around different pieces of chalk so I can give the people the choice of drawing in red, white, or blue.
Hey, let's get patriotic and chalk on.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye.
So far, I've been catching you between all these callers, and is there stuff you want to talk about for the community from the alarm or just based on what you've heard that, you know, you haven't had an opportunity to do? Please jump into it if you'd like.
Well,
we're kind of... feel obliged, you know, if you don't have anything particular.
Well, I mean, one thing I would definitely would like to address is to just sort of follow up on some of the things that Tim was saying. Like, we definitely do need to be building alternative institutions and not necessarily ignoring the city council and the powers that be. I mean, it's kind of impossible to do that, and ignoring them in a way actually gives them that's giving them their own kind of attention in that way. But yes, I think we do need to focus a lot more on building dual power, building alternative institutions, building alternative communities that can provide a base of power and support. Because, you know, we can do all this like trying to hold the city council people accountable and various county and city bureaucrats accountable, but until we actually have a base of support and a base of power in our communities, that's going to be pretty much ineffective. So, yeah, that's pretty much where I'm coming from. Like that's where we need to be focusing our stuff. We've had some stories highlighting community policing and cop watch and everything down to childcare, like having childcare co-ops and sort of circumventing the state and forming our own institutions.
Better turn on my mic, though. That'd be good. There were a couple of independent papers before yours, as I'm sure you know. There was the Santa Cruz Magazine, I think it was called. Was it called the Santa Cruz? Maybe it was called the Santa Cruz Independent. It was at the beginning of the 90s. I think it was Jeffrey Dunn was involved. A lot of fluff, but it got really... it disappeared shortly after it did an expose on police violence in 1994 when police rioted because folks were protesting the downtown sit-on-the-sidewalk-go-to-jail ordinances. There was one last issue that showed police, you know, going crazy downtown, and I guess they got a lot of flack for that, and then they just disappeared as a paper. The Metro, of course, is unfailingly toothless, in my view, and the Good Times is pretty much the same, although occasionally with Jessica Lloyd Rogers and other writers, you get updates, local updates, which, you know, Mr. Local here, I love the local scene is good. I'm going to ask you after this next caller to answer the question, have you suffered, do you think, much harassment, or have you been getting much negative feedback from police and authorities because of your work? But let me take this caller first, since the public comes first.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Free Radio. This is Nancy McCready.
Nancy McCready. Aren't you that woman with the right to sleep walkers who are just running around causing troubles in city after city?
Yeah. We're having too much fun, Robert.
Now, you're calling from a cellular phone, and where are you?
I'm in West Sacramento.
So you've walked all the way to Sacramento? No, you did some riding to Sacramento.
We did some riding, so you call us the Walk and the Rollers.
The Walk and Rollers, yes, that's true.
Yes,
what a clever
yes.
Limerick writer I am, I must
say. Yeah, we broke down in Fairfield yesterday, yesterday, I guess it was, early morning, we lost our fuel pump in a big truck. So we were supposed to meet up with a Sacramento Bee reporter in Davis, so we had to drive from Fairfield to Davis to meet up with her. And she stayed with us for the day, and
so you've been you're publicizing. Go ahead.
Yeah, she's doing a story on us on the 9th before
Excellent.
We, you know, do the rally.
So
that the story will be in before the rally.
And this rally, as I understand it, is the right to sleep statewide to get rid of these municipal codes like the Santa Cruz City sleeping ban and Santa Barbara codes against habitating vehicles and all that stupid shit?
At least a moratorium on them until such times that systems are in place to take care of the homeless that are not sheltered.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, and at the very least, and to ask the state for... places for homeless people to be legally, and have the cities and the counties partner with them to subsidize these state-run facilities.
Well, maybe what you should do, since Davis is such a big fan of the prison employees, is to occupy a few prisons and reclaim them for the homeless. After all, most of the folks in prison are homeless anyway.
Oh, yes. Well, they're ones that send us all to concentration camps anyway.
Well,
you do know this.
We'd like to think of them as re-education centers.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Yeah, well, you know, you have to find affordable housing somewhere, and if it... the more Spartan approach enables you to also assist in the license-making trade, you know. So,
okay.
Have you been? You've been through a number of towns. I know you were in San Francisco. How did your San Francisco visit go?
I think San Francisco is awful. I think there's a lot of apathy now because there's so many homeless, and I think it's getting to the point where if you go to Delhi, India, you're going to see the same thing.
New Delhi.
New Delhi. Well, is it New Delhi in India, or is
New
it
Delhi
New
is in India? Delhi and
Delhi.
New Delhi, both. But the
yes.
real good delis are in New York.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it's really sad. People just step over the homeless and pretend they don't exist.
Well, what about I know the Coalition on Homelessness gave you a rousing welcome. Did the mayor give you the key to the city, or possibly the token to the restroom, or something?
Oh no, it was just great because I went in. I had to get frisked to go into the city hall in San Francisco, but I got frisked.
Male or female officer?
It was a male officer. He made me mm-hmm. pull my pant legs up and take all my stuff out of my pockets. Whatever. I'm a big fat terrorist, you know, that I have to...
Well, you're a known terrorist. They call you Nef Said Nancy McCready, as I understand.
Yeah, but that's not terrorism.
Well, it could be construed as offensive language. It could be construed as effrontery. I mean, you know, don't want to offend people, do you?
No, ever. Not ever.
Certainly not.
I like people too much to offend
them. You know, San Francisco has recently passed a no poo-poo and pee-pee law unless you poo-poo and pee-pee in the proper places.
Oh, I think it's absolutely horrible without enough restrooms to go along with that law. But, you know, we're trying to get rid of problems. We're not trying to work with them.
I think the answer is, as I said before on the show, and nobody listens to me, you know, catheters and colostomy bags for everyone. You know,
I actually think you ought to go beyond that and just cut people's bladders out.
Well, that's a more radical solution, but it involves...
Yeah, then we can all wear what are those kind of bags called?
Colostomy bags, yes.
Colostomy bags.
And catheters,
and
yes.
And we can dispose of our urine in a more proper fashion.
Well, they could be recycled, you know. I mean,
they could.
I think that the...
Yes.
But all kidding aside, you were
yes.
in San Francisco a couple of days. What did you do after that? I know that you've been visiting one city after another and kind of parading around with these outlandish vehicles covered with signs about end the sleeping ban and the homeless people have rights.
Mostly it's really fun just to see people's jaw drop when they see the truck.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people just twist around at the same time, and that's funny. That's a comical thing. So basically what it's doing is it doesn't matter whether we're walking, rolling, whatever, we get the beep beeps. We get the beep beeps, the honk honks, and the support. The support, and we've only had two people who have come up to scream and yell at us and tell us to get out of town. Whereas we hold up our sign that says "Get out of here," and show it to them. Basically.
Interesting. You know,
yeah,
I mean,
we just have too much fun with people.
Some would say that's good. Some would
they
say
see that sign and they kind of shut up, you know, a little bit.
Right. And some would say that the fact that you're not getting more screaming means you're not really doing your job. But on the other hand, I know that you apparently did a very radical number in Santa Cruz. You apparently walked around with a Huff contingent where I was not a part of it. This was the radical, militant Huff splinter group.
Don't you feel slighted, Robert?
Well, I wouldn't be associated with these, you know, these ragamuffin types. And you went to store after store shouting, mind you, end the sleeping ban into our centers of commerce, probably upsetting some of the more elderly tourists and maybe causing some of the children to gawk and stare. So
yeah.
I don't think that this really improves your image. Have you ever heard of Booker T. Washington and using the, you know, maybe shine your shoes for a while and get a good job? That's the answer to this.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. Well, but again, putting aside all the satire, you went to San Francisco and then you checked out a few more cities. I saw you in Berkeley with Street Spirit editor Terry Messman. He kind of showed up there near People's Park.
Yeah.
And have you made much contact with homeless people in each of these cities?
Oh, yeah. Mostly in the northern part of the state, and then more northern parts of the state, we've done our job a lot better with the going to various shelters and stuff like that. And, of course, People's Park was outrageous. It was like a vortex. You couldn't get out of there. One of those black holes in outer space. And we spent 4th of July weekend beating up televisions and watching people burn flags. And
for heaven's sake.
Oh, yeah.
Now, were you in Sacramento? Where were you in the 4th of July weekend?
That's where we were, at People's Park.
Oh, People's Park, that's right.
Yes. And so, people came by and burned flags and beat up on televisions. And
I see. Well,
and Bob put three beers out with a sledgehammer and see which one could be popped the best.
I see. Well, this sounds very droll, but what about Sacramento and July 10th? I know you're planning some kind of a rally. That's Wednesday.
We're planning a rally. We're not only going to be planning a rally, but we are going to be walking around the city of Sacramento for a couple of days.
Until you drop from heat prostration, no doubt.
Yeah, well, maybe. But if we stay on the shady sides of the street, it's not that bad. It's only about 98 degrees here.
Oh, good. I'll rush right in.
Actually, it's okay in the shade. Uh-huh. And my wolves have a yard they can play in.
That's right. You do have three wolves who are accompanying you on this. Now, these are actually rather nice wolves. They don't bite you. They kind of look at you wistfully and moan, right?
Well, wolves don't bite people.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
They bite
They eat people up. That's what I heard. You know, the wolves are going to get you. And,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the wolves like to bite elk, sick elk, and also caribou, and they like to pull down sick and old caribou to cull the herds, and they like to eat mice, mostly.
I see.
Yeah, their staple diet is mice, actually, field mice.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
So they're actually sort of a pest control measure.
Yes, sir, exactly.
A wolf for every
New
York tenement house.
Yeah, they're the top predator, and in our country and in Canada, and they keep the deer from proliferating and the caribou herds from getting sick and dying.
But these are major problems in the San Francisco area. I know that.
Oh.
Can they take care of errant homeless people? Maybe we should turn them loose as a new solution to the homeless problem. You know, I mean.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they could wolf on down if you...
I think that apathy is probably one of the worst things that can ever happen in today's society. So I think that people should learn to get together throughout whole communities and just start putting a thinking cap on.
Well, you've been successful at doing that in Santa Barbara. You've established Santa Barbara Homes on Wheels, where you actually have the mayor, Marty Bloom, on your on your board, and you've gotten her to sign on because of success in the courts and with the necessity defense, and the police and the city has nothing
not
else
only
to
that,
do.
But that she has a soft heart, and she's a very smart lady, and she knows what the solutions are.
I see. Well, spare me your sweet silver-tongued approach to the mayor. At least she doesn't have an electric toilet seat like the previous mayor. I remember one. That's when I was an activist down in Santa Barbara. I remember I was badly maligned by the papers for attacking the poor mayor who wouldn't provide toilet facilities for the homeless but had her own electrically heated toilet seat at home. Ah, yes, those are the days. Anyway, we're talking to Nancy McCready, and if folks want to come to this rally in Sacramento, which I guess you'll be presenting petitions from people throughout the state.
We're going to be presenting those, and we're going to have a lot of fun. We're discussing strategy. I'm going to hold a class for the homeless on how to run a homeless meeting, and it's going to be a different type of meeting. It's not going to be a real meeting. It's going to be passing out pieces of paper for people to write down their ideas, and we're going to consolidate those ideas and pass them on to CCROP, the California Homeless.
This sounds extremely exciting, but what about the plan to take over the Capitol and turn the governor into a homeless refugee? Have him join you.
I don't know. We as activists know how to turn on dimes.
I see.
So it's going to be all about how it comes out.
Have you got a time scheduled for your Wednesday events that I should announce? Because this is my last show before I head north.
Okay, well, the time is 2 in the afternoon, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m., and then afterwards there will be civil disobedience for the people who want to participate in that.
Where will this be?
At the Capitol Lawn.
On the Capitol Lawn in Sacramento. So for those who are interested...
Yeah, we're right on the north side, north-facing side of the Capitol.
This will be Wednesday, July 10th, and for those who are interested and want to come up with me, I may or may not have room in my cramped sticker mobile. You can give a call to 423-HUFF, 423-4833, and we'll see what gives.
Yeah.
Nancy, anything you want to add before I unceremoniously cut you off?
No, I think that's about it. And all I can say is that we're going to have a lot of fun. We're going to have a lot of education. There's going to be a lot of speakers there, and we, you know, we'll just have fun. We're gonna put on street theater, and you know, we're gonna do the hokey pokey.
Well, it's about time.
Well, you know how it is. It's you put your right hand in, you put your right hand out.
You can teach me.
Yeah.
Hey, thank you, Nancy. I'm gonna run before I start doing the hokey pokey.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Bye.
That was Nancy McCready from Santa Barbara, who is one of the major forces behind the Right to Sleep Walk. The Walk and Roller is heading for, and actually in Sacramento. They're going to be rallying 2 to 5, as you heard, on the Capitol, what is it, the Capitol Lawn, the Capitol Steps. It's at the Capitol, and if you're interested, give a call to 423-HUFF. I think I said all that before. In the studio with me are Far Meese and the notorious Greg Kindick of the Community for Something About a Plaza. Oh. One more time. What the hell is it?
Coalition for a Community Commons.
You can say that fast 10 times. You get a special back issue of the Street Shit Sheet. There's only 20 minutes left in the show. We have phone line open again, 427-3772. Again, I want to remind you that tomorrow the Citizens Police Rah-Rah Board, in this case, also known as the Citizens Police Review Board, will be meeting 5:30 under the chairmanship of Mark Halfmoon, who is fighting to stop them from turning his board into an even more deformed organ that sort of simulates the San Jose auditor, who will be coming actually to speak at that meeting. She's a woman who has more power in one sense, and that she's able to look at in IA files and request through police officers that questions be asked in investigations. However, she is privately appointed, or she is not appointed by the city council members. She doesn't really come from the community. She's a professional. And the idea of community control of police is completely absent in San Jose, where the police are popping off people like popcorn, as you may know if you read the papers. San Jose police, they killed, what, 7 or 8 people in the year? It's 99 or 2000. I'm not sure what the current stats are. I'm hoping that we can get some San Jose activists to come over and just show up this, whatever her name is, Teresa. Her name was in your paper, Far, but I don't remember it. Actually, I may have a copy of the alarm with me. I have a number of back issues.
A loyal reader, apparently.
Here's the current issue, and I think we have... here we go. City Council to cut Citizens Police Review Board budget. And I believe, yes, her name is Guerrero Daly. She's coming over. They didn't invite people from stronger boards. They only invited people from weaker boards. That's because the Citizens Police Review Board is appointed by these clowns on the City Council who want to cripple it. When we tried to get them together to make it stronger, and Sugar, who initially said he was in favor of stopping police harassment, you may remember he was actually at a protest with Steve Argue way back in 1998, right after Sugar and Crone won their election. They had a Stolen Lives. They were in solidarity with Stolen Lives and with a protest against the shooting of Happy John Dine, our local man, who was killed by Officer Connor Carey in a cover-up that still resounds and still stinks around town. But since then, Sugar and Crone and everybody else have become completely neutered on the issue of meaningful police review, looks like to me. But there are some who believe in using the existing system, and I think Mark Halfmoon is one of them. I think he's probably wasting his time, but I like to try to encourage him to proceed to try to get real police review. And you might want to go down there at 5:30, talk about police harassment, urge the CPRB to demand that City Council look at the real problems in the downtown, which have to do with not only the, you know, your standard urban sexual harassment stuff that goes on in any big city in the patriarchal society like we are, but the specific to Santa Cruz intensive police harassment crackdown that's been happening against musicians, against artists, against hacky sackers. Am I being too extreme here? What do you think? Am I getting a little carried away here? Far? Am I aligning our police force?
Well, I think there's a lot more going on for sure. I mean, there's it, from my understanding, it seems like the police aren't aren't as fixated on maligning the homeless population as it would tend to seem on your radio show. I think that, from my understanding, their largest concern with, in particular about downtown, is drunks, and a lot of those are not homeless drunks. They're probably people from the university and so forth, and from over the hill. I think there is a lot more going on. But certainly,
I see those drunk arrests more. Maybe I'm just not noticing them. Do you see people being arrested for drunk a lot who are not homeless downtown?
No, that's certainly a big distinction to make. Like the drunks aren't being arrested nearly as often as people with lifestyle crimes that are committing lifestyle crimes.
Now, aren't lifestyle crimes sort of by definition about people who are either homeless or near homeless?
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at.
Just trying to check that out.
But yeah, I think that. Well, what was your point that I'm responding to exactly?
Well, the question was, am I being too unfair in my characterization of Chief Belcher and his men and women in blue?
Well, it's hyperbolic. I wouldn't call it unfair. I mean, it's
exaggerated to the point of, should we say, inaccuracy?
Not necessarily inaccurate, but it's
partial view.
Yeah, it's partial, and it doesn't represent the whole picture.
Hi there. You're on free radio.
Hi there. I wanted to chime in on this little conversation you two are having.
Cool.
A couple of days ago, the last time I was downtown, I was in one of the many franchise cafes. I'm not going to name because then all my friends would be ashamed of me. But a couple older than me, so I'd say they're in their mid-60s maybe, guessing, looked pretty content together with each other. We're asking to use the bathroom, and of course, none of the cafes will let you use the bathrooms downtown now, in spite of state laws. And they asked the clerk, who said, "No, you can't. We can't let you do that." Why? And the guy started saying, "Well, we have a town with a lot of problems with homeless people, and so naturally, with the tongue out of mouth problem I have, I heeled around and joined the conversation, having been homeless before." And I said, "I beg your pardon," to the clerk. And he looked at me, and he didn't look ashamed. He was open, receptive. So I just kept going, and I said, "It seems to me that the bathrooms are shut because the people in the city don't have the will to figure out how to deal with drug users and drunks and lots of other people who try to hide behind homeless people. And everybody goes along with it, you know? They let these people who make a living by being thieves be misidentified as homeless people. And I'm sick of it," so I couldn't keep my mouth shut.
No, I don't even think it's drug users and drunks. I'm tired of hearing Ed Porter use that kind of language. I talked to him on the phone, and he tried to turn around the conversation when I said, "Where the hell is the police harassment issue, which was the number one on your agenda, and it's completely disappeared?" Uh-huh. And he said, "Oh, well, I certainly don't favor, you know, allowing drug users downtown." As though everybody could agree.
I happen to agree with your views about drug use, but I've also, what I was saying, and I was almost done, is based on interviewing many merchants and pinning them down about why they spend money to upgrade their bathrooms so wheelchairs can get in them, and then a month later close them to the public. So, I've got managers telling me, whether they want to or not, their reasoning. And I don't mean to just narrow down who's going to be prosecuted by the public will, but I do need to finish the story. I'm almost done. So the clerk said, "Well, yeah, we're not supposed to talk about that, especially to tourists. In other words, what the real specific things happened that led to locking a certain bathroom door." And I said, "Well, what kind of job is that where they tell you you have to tell a lie?" And he still didn't wince. I spoke for a moment to the tourists, and I said, "Our town does have a problem about knowing homeless people are human beings, and they have a problem about accommodating public bathroom use, which, if it's going to be a tourist town, ought to be a given." And then I was done.
Hey, okay, well, thank you for that thought, and we'll carry on and talk about it.
Yeah. I'm not trying to get people that are abused, but you know, when they kick you out of the bathroom and you left a little spray of blood on the wall, how does that make you a homeless person? I wish everyone would think about it. I have an announcement, too.
Mm-hmm.
Mark your calendars for July 18th. A woman named Mary Brooks from the Community for Economic Development is going to be here, and one of the sponsors is the Community Housing Land Trust. And she's going to be explaining land trusts, and it looks like half of it will be open for them.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the time. I think it's going to be at Loudoun Nelson, and I'll get more information, but I wanted to tip people off now.
Okie doke.
Thank you.
Well, like the caller said, I think there's definitely a problem with recognizing homeless people as human beings. I think there was a great quote in Saturday Sentinel about this, and it's pretty indicative of where people are at some of the time. It reads, Beryl Dunn, 74, a downtown resident who manages low-income El Palomar apartments on Pacific Avenue, said it's about time. This is in reference to the city council's rather slanted approach to the problems. She says, these guys claim everyone's harassing them, she said, of street people downtown. For goodness sake, it's my city, too. Don't we have the right to walk where we went without tripping over legs, feet, and dirty sidewalks? So apparently, it's not about homelessness. It's about random body parts strewn all over the sidewalks. It's apparently, she doesn't recognize that there's actually human beings and human lives attached to these body parts, and people that are trying to, you know, actually go on with their lives and share a common space with the rest of the population. And just their presence there is offensive to this person, and it's apparently offensive because they can't recognize them as human beings.
Yeah, I also think that, you know, with respect to what the caller said, that, you know, the obvious point that was, another point that was brought up was a need for public bathrooms. I'm not sure where it is on that list. Maybe it's 7, maybe it's 8, maybe it's 1, maybe it's 2, or it's not 1 or 2 or 3. But it's certainly an important issue, and one, of course, that the city council declines to address. I mean, they could simply pass an ordinance that required at least customer bathrooms. I mean, you know, so if you could scrape up the money for a cup of coffee, then you could go take a piss. Thank you very much. But even the coffee roasting company does not have a bathroom for customers, so they make you sneak into the Palomar Hotel, where you get to try to, you know, sidle your way past the dagger looks of the people at the bar, if you're paranoid as I am. And, you know, it's pretty grotesque. I mean, I've suggested, some people have sort of gone, a nude in downtown? What a shocking idea. I think a piss in downtown might be a fine idea. If merchants and the city council continues to refuse to afford basic amenities, it doesn't mean you have to piss all over the sidewalk. We could have a discreet, you know, we could set up a discreet porta potty where people could, you know, do their business, and then possibly put a check on it indicating, you know, they've tried to go here, they've tried to go there, they can't go. Because, I mean, it is true that the Crone Crapper Commission, with Emily Riley sitting on it, thank you, Emily, instead of giving us bathrooms, did give us 5 porta potties, two of which have been taken out, and a third of which they're trying to take out downtown. But it would seem to me that you would want more bathrooms open. And I'm glad to say there is a bathroom that seems to be kind of open during the day, which is a part of the, I guess it's the across from the New Leaf Market, and across from Long's is a shopping structure.